I'm having the weirdest deja vu. Good morning, everyone. Paul Alexander with you, and it is going low. Unfortunately, at my stage, the going low thing, it just doesn't really probably fit my game anymore. Going is still positive. You just want to keep going. I was thinking about this on my way in this morning. I think we're how old are we? 2010. We're like 14 years old as a station. The original golf show, and we weren't cool enough to call it Going Low back in the day. We were just the Fan Golf Show. It was Josh Miller, the punter, and I co-hosting the Fan Golf Show way back in the day. And it is absolutely just so good to be back. As I said on my post when I let everyone know that I'd be here this morning and inviting you all to listen and be a part of the show, the only thing better than playing golf, honestly, is talking about it. And it is just one of those, I call it a healthy addiction. And I only have two of those. Thankfully, fitness is one. I absolutely, love and need to exercise and work out. It's the only way to me at this, when you get up there a little bit, that allows me to keep playing golf. You have to stay in some sort of condition. And, there's that forever argument, is golf a sport or is it a skill? If you watch these guys today hit a golf ball, you watch Rory McIlroy drive a 401-yard par four, and they make it look so effortless. It's insane. The club head speed, the ball speed is off the charts. And I know that we really don't have one of those dominant players. We don't have the human rating machine of Tiger Woods. I mean, he's still kind of around, but I mean, he's not significant in terms of a competitor anymore. And someone may, beg to differ with that, but when Tiger's not in contention, and granted, he's had a multitude of injuries and a lot of accidents and a lot of things that have really, held him back from a physical standpoint, but when he's not contending, you can tell he has zero interest, and he usually cites one of his injuries just to, not be a part of. If he's not in contention, he has no interest in being there. And I get that. I mean, he's earned that, but it's just kind of unfortunate that he DQs himself every time that he's not in the hunt. But there are so many unbelievably talented and gifted players out there right now. And if you've been watching the players at all, and if you've been there at all, you know what a ridiculous challenge that golf course is. I mean, it is absolutely right now just manicured. I mean, the condition of that golf course right now is off the charts. And if you haven't been there, I mean, it's steep. I mean, they hit you for a pretty good number to play around the golf at TPC Sawgrass. But just to step up onto that 17th tee, I think is – well, it depends. It depends what your financial situation is, how much of your net worth you want to put out to play around the golf. But my chronology. There's something that really is flawed for me, and that is my chronology, because I don't remember. I was down there covering a Steelers-Jacksonville game, and they actually put us up at TPC. So it was a Sunday night game, and we got there early Saturday. And I said, well, what's the deal? It's about $650 by the time. I didn't bring my clubs. I didn't have anything with me. So to get everything all gathered up and put together, it was pricey. But what an unbelievable place that is. And I was telling my wife last night, I made her watch a little bit of the recap of what was going on at the Players, just to show her how beautiful it was. And then she was fascinated by 17. I go, yeah, it's an island green. It's an island. If you hit it right, it's in the water. You hit it left, it's in the water. Short and long, it's in the water. It is truly an island green. And I told her that when the TPC players became kind of a thing, they would, you know, you could log on and just watch 17 all day. You could watch every single shot on 17. And that's one of those, you know, I was probably doing something. I was probably supposed to be doing something else. But that's a rabbit hole. You just can't get, you're stuck there. You are absolutely fascinated and stuck there. So God rest Pete Dye. A lot of folks aren't huge fans of Pete Dye, but I sure am. He was one of the great designers, and he has left some of the absolute gems all over the country, and certainly the TPC at Sawgrass is one of his better efforts. So Mystic Rock, he did pretty well there as well. Funny story. They were opening Mystic Rock in Nemacolin. I was still, I believe, working in Altoona. So, yeah, that was probably maybe mid-90s, earlier 90s. I don't know. Again, chronology not as strong as it should be. So I didn't give myself enough time to get down there from State College. I was driving to Nemacolin from State College. And I pull in and I see this shuttle, like this big shuttle bus, taking off from where, you know, we were supposed to meet. So I'm ready to take off and follow the shuttle bus. Gentleman flags me down, you know, just a kind of a smaller guy in khakis and a nice polo shirt and a Purdue hat. He had on a Purdue ball cap. He said, "Hey, would you mind giving me a ride?" I said, "Sure, not at all. I just missed the guys." He goes, "Oh, I know where we're headed." I go, "Hi, Paul Alexander." He goes, "Pete Dye." I just went, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yeah." And it was one of the coolest rides you could ever imagine, talking about his thoughts on golf course design. And he had just a week or two before, he was very proud of his alma mater, which was Purdue. He charged them $1 to redo their, you know, their university golf course. And I guess it's absolutely outstanding. But he also, the story about Nemacolin was, you know, the late Joe Hardy, one of the all-time characters that we've ever had, and a wonderful supporter of the game of golf. And I just can't thank him enough for the times I got to spend down there covering the 84 Lumber Classic and playing in the pro-ams and doing all the things that I got to do down there with that. But he just said, "I've never had an unlimited budget before." He just said, "Make me the best golf course you can make from this piece of land." And it was pretty incredible. It was pretty incredible. But it's just so fun to talk about golf. I mean, and today I want to thank Old Stonewall. They're one of the sponsors. And Sean Swadzinski, he's going to be one of our guests this morning. He used to be known as the pro at Old Stonewall. Now he's known as the father of Hunter, the 3A state champion of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So I think that is so cool. And John Stuovi, the owner of Cedarbrook, he's going to be our first guest this morning in just a couple of minutes. He is, I think, fairly proud of the fact that Cedarbrook is the host of what I coined it, the PaulsIce.com tour. And Paul and John go way back. John's daughter is a big-time basketball player and coach, and Paul does such a great job with the AAU programs. And Paul's kind of a big deal in the women's AAU basketball scene. And they became fast friends, and I've just kind of tagged along. And we show up very early in the morning throughout the spring and summer at Cedarbrook. And there's nothing like being the first off. That to me is heaven. And when I was before Churchill Country Club closed, which still makes me so sad, there was a group of us, and there was probably like four groups of us. There were no tee times. It was a first come, first serve. So we started getting pretty ridiculous trying to be the first off at our own club. But it has its advantages. And the things that we're going to do throughout the year on this show is I want to make this game better for everybody. And I know there's so many new, you know, the pandemic to me was one of the worst times of our history. And there was just so much nonsense associated with it. And one of them was that Pennsylvania closed its golf courses. I mean, what are you doing? So everyone was driving to West Virginia and Ohio, which, you know, there's some great spots in West Virginia and Ohio to play golf. But we need people to stay here and play golf here. And finally, they came to their senses. And I think I can't think of many other positive things that came out of the pandemic. But the resurgence of golf was certainly one of them. I mean, golf was dying. And a friend of mine has a digital magazine that I'll have to send you to, Golfing Around. And I love to write for my good buddy Tommy Poljak. And I did a ton of research for an article I just wrote about the return, the boom, the comeback of golf. And it was 2014. And I remember it well because a friend of mine was one of those casualties. Dick's Sporting Goods, which, oh, by the way, I think golf has a lot to do with this. They just had their best quarter ever this last quarter nationally. They're up 15% nationwide, Dick's Sporting Goods, located right here in Western Pennsylvania, headquartered right here in Western Pennsylvania. But they had a PGA professional in every store. And then golf had fallen so far off the map in 2014, they let all of their professionals go because there was no reason to have them staffing a PGA professional at every Dick's Sporting Goods store across the country. 500 pros were fired in 2014. That's where golf was headed. Courses were closing. Clubs were closing. I just can't even imagine, the folks we're going to talk to today, the owner of a 36-hole public facility, the pro at one of the great public courses in the country in Old Stonewall, not knowing what that future of your industry, of your profession, was going to bring. And there were those of us that were never not going to play golf, but for the casual, the not necessarily, hooked golfer, it probably wasn't something you were going to invest the time, the effort, and the commitment to. Golf is all of that. And I'm trying to, my son now can hit it 300 yards. So, that is kind of, he's intrigued by that. He's only 20. He's a pretty good athlete. But as much as I exposed him to golf and tried, it just never clicked for him. He didn't have the patience, didn't have the time, didn't have the desire. But that's changed. And he's, graduate from Penn State next year. He has another year left. He's going into finance. And I'm like, oh, by the way, there's still a lot of deals made on the golf course. It is still a place where a lot of people go to talk business and make things happen. And, oh, by the way, if you can play the game, and you don't have to be, tremendously skilled at the game, but if you understand it, you understand the etiquette, you can comport yourself on the course as if, you know what you're doing, that can go a long way. And, oh, by the way, if you can play a little bit, maybe you get down to a single digit or you're a 10 or a 12 handicap, any potential employee, any potential client, any potential employer is going to say, this guy has dedication, perseverance, and the ability to, overcome a ton of obstacles. Golf ain't easy. And as soon as I see someone that can play, I know they have a great work ethic. If you can play the game of golf, if you're a single digit, if you play, you're the kind of guy that can break 80 now and again or be in that range, I know that you have a work ethic and you really can stick to something and stay with it because you're not going to do that without any of those things. So we're going to have a whole lot of fun. We're going low. We are powered by Bowser and we are poured by Bell's Brewery. I mean, come on. There has to be beverages involved with golf. Is that not part of the deal? I mean, it kind of has to be. And it's St. Patrick's Day weekend. We're going to have a decent day today. The toughest thing to find now in this great world of golf are tee times. We'll talk to a guy that has 36 holes at your disposal, the owner of Cedarbrook, John Savoy. He will be our guest in just a few minutes as we get rolling on Going Low right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the show. It is Going Low, and we are powered by Bowser and poured by Bell's Brewery. It's now my pleasure to welcome John Stawovy from Cedarbrook Golf Club. He is probably on a tractor or a mower right now. I'm holding up his attempt to get his 36 holes ready for play today. John, good morning.
Morning, Paul.
Did I catch you on a mower or a backhoe?
We have an outing today, an affair we called a Clover Cup. We started, invited some people to come and play. And I came in early at 5:30. We set the room for the outing after. And then I went and got on the Sam Pro for a little bit. And then I got in my truck to listen to the show till we went on here. I came
John,
back in the building.
I am so excited for the game of golf. I did a little magazine article last week and just did a ton of research on just what horrible shape the game was in, you know, around 2013 and 14. And then in 2020, the most rounds in the history of the United States, the most rounds of golf were played. Are you seeing that at Cedarbrook? Is it really booming as I believe it is?
I certainly think so, Paul. Even this winter, every day we've had has been decent or sunny. We've gotten all the people we can get on the course that we can. You know, limited times with cold mornings and short days. And our tunnel was closed for construction, and ironically, it's going to open today. We're going to go back to 36 holes on the gold course. But every tee time we'll feel every day.
And John, were you nervous at a period of time in that? I cited that the Dick's Sporting Goods. I thought the real telltale sign that golf was in trouble was when they fired all their PGA professionals in their stores. And I'm thinking,
right.
This isn't good.
Their stock too. They were cutting down on even the stuff, amount of golf material they were going to sell. I'm going to tell you, right after 9/11, golf started to really dip, and we went about 15 years. Now before 2020, it started to slowly come back a little bit, but I think, you know, you had courses closing and, not as much course available for people. But like you said, we middle of March of 2020, we were shut down by the state, and we opened sometimes 8 weeks later in May, and it's been booming ever since. I totally agree with you.
And to me, that's the only good thing that came out of the pandemic was the resurgence of golf, because everything else was kind of awful. I mean, for the most part, and the Commonwealth was killing you guys. I personally was driving to Ohio to play because their courses were open. West Virginia's courses were open. I had to imagine that had to be so frustrating for you golf course owners and pros and everyone else.
You know, even New York was open.
Yeah.
They're always regulating everything to the hilt. So it was tough. But, certainly looking back, I guess it was worthwhile.
Now, John, how proud are you to be the home of the PaulZeiss.com tour? I mean, you know, there's the Korn Ferry Tour, there's the PGA Tour, the LPGA. But I would think in terms of just, you know, status, you know, being the host of the PaulZeiss.com tour has to be pretty special.
Definitely is. Enjoy having you guys out on Saturday mornings.
It is,
and
just...
Hey, Zeiss is coming. That's what I have to tell my guys downstairs. We're ready.
Oh, John, you've played with him, and it's a treat. I mean, I love his mantra. I mean, he does not care how good you are. He cares how fast you play. And is that one of the only problems we're seeing with golf right now? We're big fans on the Zeiss.com tour. It's ready golf. When you're ready to play, as long as you understand the etiquette of the game and you're not hitting in front of people and doing things like that, walking in people's lines and all those kind of things. Just be ready to hit your next shot. Isn't that going to improve the game a lot and allow you to get a lot more rounds played when people are playing a little more quickly?
Definitely. I certainly believe that.
What is the course?
I think people want to get around. You know, busy lives. Like this morning, my daughter's Greensburg Central Catholic girls team is still in the state playoffs, and she has practice this morning at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to have to leave here after we're done and run her up to practice. And come back, and I go run up and go back and get her, you know, come back. But, people are busy, and they love to get out here, and they want to get around, though. It only be our 4 and 5 hours.
Who does Greensburg Central have today?
Just practice today.
Oh, just practice today.
Last night, rematch with Kennedy Catholic Monday night.
Ooh.
Location to be determined. But it'll be interesting.
Yeah, they're a nice team. I did their WPIL final, and it was a blast. They have a nice team. They can really shoot it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Looking forward, but maybe get to go to Hershey later next week.
Oh, that's a thrill. That's an absolute thrill. I mean, there's nothing like it. I just love it. John, I know you're always busy. You are one of the most gracious hosts that I've ever been lucky enough to be around. I appreciate your time. I appreciate Cedarbrook, and I'm excited that you have all 36 holes open and ready to go because people just want to get out there and play.
You certainly do, Paul. We're glad to have a monitor anytime.
All right. John, thanks so much, and I'll see you soon, I hope.
Okay, Paul.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you. John Suwovi, the owner of Cedarbrook, and the beauty of John is that he just constantly, and I mean absolutely constantly, is working on making Cedarbrook even better. I mean, he is just, he's on a mower, or he's running a backhoe, or he is one of the hardest working, nicest people in the entire world. And it's a special place and 36 holes. And one thing I did want to bring up, but I forgot about it, was one of the first times that I was down there, Michelle Wee, do you remember when Michelle Wee wanted to play on the men's tour? Well, she played in a qualifier at Cedarbrook. And oh, by the way, you know what she did that particular day? Beat every man in the field. She beat every man in the field and qualified for the event that she was trying to qualify for. So you found going low. Hopefully, I'm not sure. I mean, they have an event at Cedarbrook today. So unfortunately, for those of you that wanted to maybe go down there, that's probably going to be a challenge for you because I imagine they have at least 18 of the holes closed today for the event. But I'm just happy to say not only is going low back, and here we are, this is our inaugural show. Our good buddy Kale Berger, who did such a great job of this show last year, he's now gone all Jason Aldean on us. He's on Y108 every morning, and I guess, I don't know, he's just too busy. He has too many country music obligations or something along those lines. But there's nothing more fun for me than talking about golf. So this is an absolute labor of love. And actually, 7 to 8. I mean, a lot of people go, "Oh, well, you get up that early." When the PaulZeiss.court, .com tour gets rolling, I mean, we'll tee it up at 6. We'll be the first off at 6 o'clock. Now, I hope we can shift that to Sundays because we have a little bit of a situation here with me being on the air 7 to 8, and 8's very late for the Zeiss.com tour. But what a treat that is, and what a special place that is. And I'm just so happy for everybody involved in the golf business that you guys are officially back and booming. Not going all AB on you, but business is booming. When we come back, Sean Swidzinski, the golf pro at Old Stonewall and one of the proprietors at Turn Clubs. What's Turn Clubs? We'll talk about that and other things about the world of golf, and golf is coming. I know it's St. Patrick's Day weekend, but, the Irish like to golf as well. So you might want to squeeze in today. Tomorrow doesn't look too good. So if you really want to get something in today, you want to hit some balls or maybe squeeze in 18 or a quick 9, today might be the day. It's going to be pretty darn decent out there. This is Going Low, and we're presented by Bowser Automotive and powered by Bell's Brewery right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Paul Alexander with you on Going Low. It's my pleasure right now to welcome to the show from Old Stonewall, Sean Swidzinski. Used to be known as the pro at Old Stonewall. Now he's known as the father of Hunter, the 3A state champion. How are you handling that, Sean? Is that a tough transition for you? Now you're just the father of the state champ?
Yeah, it's been a really good ride. Good morning, Paul. But it's been incredible. so many times that the sort of the roles reverse, you know, and that's how evolution is. And it's really cool to see. And we were amazingly proud of his performance and how he's handled everything since.
What's he up to now?
Well, he doesn't miss much practice. He practices 2 or 3 hours a day on TrackMan and gets out in the course probably any day it's over 25 or maybe 30. And he's got some lofty goals, and he doesn't miss a day. So I'm definitely proud of that.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like the addiction to golf. And it's fun to watch when you see someone basically fall under the auspices of golf. It takes over. Our buddy Joe Starkey, who I'm sure you've met, because you know he's met everyone involved with golf now. He is the most addictive, obsessive person I've ever met, and now golf is all he thinks and cares about. And he had a career best 83 not too long ago, so he's making some progress.
Oh, no question. Joe is, he's got the bug for sure, and that's the thing with golf. I mean, once you get started, it's a type of sport, the more you play, the more you want to play, the more you practice and start seeing some improvement. It's addictive for all of us. So it's really cool to see. It's fun to hear him talk about it on air and across the board. It's just like the rest of us for sure.
And Sean, there's no question. Old Stonewall is a special place. And I don't remember. And again, one of the things that really goes at an advanced age is chronology. I happened to be there. You had a big media opening. A beautiful event to just kind of say, hey, Old Stonewall's here and it's open. And I just fell madly in love with the course that very first day. And it started with the practice range. I think there's something so special about being able to warm up, you know, with all sorts of targets and just a beautiful situation. What year did you guys open for play?
Yeah, this is a big year for us. We opened in 1999, so 25 years this year.
Wow.
You talk about our practice range. We have the largest tee space in any course or club around the area. I mean, we have set up there that we have basically about 70 yards of tee space, of grass tee space, and it's something that we have the ability, and that's why we have a ton of aspiring young players, you know, collegiate players and guys that want to really work on their game. It's a great place to come out and practice. But, over the 25 years, it's hard to believe it's went by that long. I've actually been there since end of July of 99, so I've been there for the full 25 years. So it's shown, definitely on top of my head for sure, you know, but it's been a good ride.
It is such a spectacularly beautiful place, and you know, there was obviously no money spared when it came to the construction of the golf course. I forget the number on just the rocks alone, but just a complete gem of a golf course. And you guys, what's your ranking right now? You always have one of the top public course rankings in the state. Are you still number one?
Yeah, once they changed and went to sort of more the resort came into the category, we moved back a few places. So it sort of changed a little bit there. But from the true public facilities, we're usually the top one or could float one or two depending on the publication. So we're always in that area. We really value the stuff that Golf Digest does and those other rankings. It helps to get out there for sure. And it's that part of it has helped us out through the years tremendously. And you went back to, you were talking about the stones. There's literally 575,000 tons. There was 2.8 million in stone alone that were trucked into that facility. Rick Vizdek was the original builder. He was the brains behind it, and definitely nothing was spared for sure.
And just the castle itself too. It's just the way it presides kind of over the course, or you know the way you look at it when you're coming in on 18. It's just a different feel and such a cool vibe. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than standing on the, and I, when I'm taking people out there or lucky enough to have someone out there for the first time, I march them up to the very back tee and at least hit one drive on 16 from that top tee, because the vista, the view, the feel of being up there is insanely cool.
Yeah. that D, it gets some use. There's no question. There's a lot of people that they'll go back there, and we tell people too, you know, if you're coming out to play, especially if it's your first time or the only time you get a chance to come out, you got to at least go back to the back tee on 16. It's really the signature hole that we have. And from back there, it's a 474 par 4. And that carry seems like you have to hit it 300 to get to the fairway, but really maybe only 220 or so. But the way that hole sets up, it's just such a cool look. And the elevation change is just awesome. That seems like that ball's in the air for 5 minutes, you know, and it's cool. A really cool thing to get everybody up there for sure.
Well, Sean, the explosion of golf, I mean, you know, the pandemic was awful in so many ways, but I think it had such a positive influence, and everyone's benefiting now in the golf industry because of the pandemic in some strange way. But now it's to the point where, you know, we live in a climate where you're not going to be able to play year round. So now these amazing places are starting to pop up where, you know, you can go have and I saw last night, I know Turn Clubs is a cool place, but when you have Bob Pompeiani sipping on a Cabernet and working on his wedge play at your place last night at Turn Clubs, I mean, that's special. When Bob Pompeiani is at your place, you know you have a cool place. Is that not correct, sir?
There's no question. When Pomp's in the house, everything livens up, you know. That guy, it was cool to have Bob in last night, and you know, that's the whole thing. Like, he came in with his family, and he's got grandkids, his kids, and give an opportunity that everyone can have fun. I mean, we had a club in Sonny's hands last night, so it was so cool to see, and you know, things like that. These type of places make an opportunity. Yeah, you can not only work on your game and have fun in the game for all skill levels. You can do it 12 months out of the year and really enjoy it. So it was cool to have him in last night. And, you know, that's the things we're really building up there for, whether it's a family, beginners, or aspiring tour players. It's something that every golfer can enjoy for sure.
I don't want to give them too much credit, but does Top Golf get a little credit for the explosion of all the places like Turn Clubs and Shooters and all the other great places that are out there?
I would think so. I mean, that definitely helps for sure. I mean, we didn't, you know, in a lot of these areas, it was typically in warmer climates where you saw that. So you didn't see, as many outdoor, but, you know, these things start to pop up. And it's really like it's creating our places a little unique where we're creating a club atmosphere and ability for corporate events and for different events and just social gatherings as well. But, you know, the food side is really a large component of it. It's these type of places, you know, if there's not food and beverage, and, you know, there's nothing like hitting some golf balls with a beverage. So that's key component to it. So those type of things make it more social, just like out on the course. But that food and beverage side of it is critical. In our case, you know, we have a 5-star chef, and we have people that come into our place that they could care less there was even golf there. They're there
three
nights
food.
A week just for the food and drinks. So it's unique too, and Top Golf's that way as well.
We're with Sean Swedzinski. He's the pro at Old Stonewall and the proprietor at Turn Clubs, which is turning heads everywhere. I mean, the entire Pompeiani clan was there last night, so you just know you're at the right place. When you see any of the Pompeianis anywhere, you know you're in the right place, in the cool place. And I still have yet to make it out there. That is certainly on the list. I told my wife that, and I know I'm not going to get a golf club in her hand, but I would certainly get a beverage in her hand and a great sandwich or a great entree. I think that can be easily done. And I just read, I was doing research on a little magazine article that I was working on, that the 57% of the people that, you know, participate in simulator-like activities with golf don't even play regular golf. I mean, it's not something that they need to be, you know, so well schooled in the game of golf that they can't go out and have fun at a place like yours, because it's kind of like bowling with a golf club. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's, you know, you're going to a screen that's only 10 feet in front of you, so there's an opportunity for everybody to have lots of success. So that helps from the start. So you get a lot of people that are beginners or just getting into the game. And I think it translates to down the road that we'll get into it. But if in something like this, if they have their time or they have their membership, they're sort of locked in, so they're not pushed or pressed for pace of play or things like that. They know they have that time, so they can go out and hit a shot and have a drink or eat some food, do their thing, and it's just a nice part of the entertainment side of it. But also, you know, for those, I think a lot of people get into the game. We have clinics and things like that where you can get people started and get them set up, and it really helps them to maybe they would have never considered go out on a range or go out on a course. It was too intimidating. This is a nice opportunity to get them involved and get them into the game. And I think it helps grow the game for sure.
Sean, I think it's amazing. And, you know, the explosion of golf just does my heart good because it looked like the game itself was in trouble. Courses were closing. People were losing their jobs in the industry. And to see golf booming right now just I think, is good for everybody. And the fact that the people are getting outside and doing things and what can you tell people that want to get started? And like you said, a little bit intimidated, a little bit nervous. What can you do? What can you say to kind of ease them a little bit? Or what would be your suggestion how to get involved and get started in the game?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we're fortunate in the tri-state section. There's so many great PGA professionals. The first thing I would do is look up one of your local guys, one of the courses you can get access to, or someone at another facility. And, you know, just like ours, we have great instructors. We have Eric Johnson, he's the only top 100 instructor in the region. If nice. you can go there for the absolute best. You can go to your local club. All these great professionals can help you. Golf isn't something that's, you know, if someone, you went out to run or something like that, everybody can do it to some degree. It might not look as pretty as somebody else, but if you've never picked up a club and are trying to hit something like that, it is definitely going to be challenging to start. But with the right grip and the right start into a golf swing, everybody can have success. I mean, when you're controlling the face of the club and can square it up and make contact, it's amazing. Like immediate success, and people they see that, can't believe that ball's getting in the air, and immediately they're hooked. So it's not something just to go out on your own and try to struggle with it and think you'll figure it out on YouTube. If you talk to one of your local pros and see some of that, it'll be the best investment you made in the game for sure.
I've always sought professional help. I mean, that's the best way to get started, because the bad habits, if you start on your own and you think you have it figured out and the ball's not going where you like it to or not getting airborne, that's hard to, you know, fix on your own. I mean, the greatest players in the world have teachers and pros that help them with their swings. So if you want to get started, seek professional help is the best advice I think we could give anybody.
Well, no doubt. It'll speed up the process and allow you to have success much quicker, which, I mean, everybody's time is precious. You know, so if you're going to go spend the time or the money at a course to play, why not play better? So you can go out and have a lot more fun by getting a little instruction and some good practice too.
Unbelievable. Sean, thanks so much for your time. I hope I see you a lot this summer. That would make me very happy, because that would mean I'd be out at Old Stonewall.
No problem. Thanks, Paul. Always appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Sean Swazinski, the head professional at Old Stonewall, the proprietor at Turn Clubs, two of the great places to absolutely enjoy the game. And so, Matty Harkins, how was our inaugural of the year going low? How did we do?
I think it was a good start.
Good start. Yeah, we have to build on it, obviously. But if you love, and I mean love, the game of golf, or you're just interested in it, there are so many things that can help you learn to love the game even more. If you don't have any success, I mean, it's a game that's going to get in your head. And the best players in the world, I was just watching Justin Rose, who way back at an 84 Lumber Classic down at Nemacolin, I did a good half hour with Justin Rose, just a fascinating guy. I loved his accent. you know, on 17 yesterday, he knocked a couple in the water. His tee shot went too far. It went in the water. Then from the drop area, he hit it in the water again. I mean, it's golf. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy game. But it only takes, and I think Matt will probably attest, if you hit one or two perfectly, you're hooked. I mean, you're absolutely hooked with one or two good shots because you know it's in there and you know you can replicate and duplicate that again. So once you get a little bit of success, you'll be hooked on this great game. So I want to thank Matty Harkins. I want to thank Sean. I want to thank John from Cedarbrook. And I want to thank you for listening. We're going to be doing this each and every week, 7 to 8, every Saturday morning. I'm going to get this thing ramped up and rolling, and I'm excited about it. I believe that we have Pat Bostic following. Yeah, Pat Bostic will be next. Pat, he and I are going to have to get out on the course. He's a member of Chartiers, and that's a great place to be. And he, you know, rubs elbows with Pomp and other great guys out there. Josh Rountree, one of our good buddies from here, is now going to be at Chartiers. So hopefully I'm going to run into Pat, but enjoy. Keep those fingers crossed for the Pitt Panthers, man. They've earned an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. I'm a little nervous for them, though.